instant inspiration. People who look up to other people end up being looked up to. People who look up to other people end up being looked up to. We can always find fault with what other people are doing, and even ourselves. And as we go through life and as we walk around and we see what other people are doing, we can say, my God, you know, they could do that so much better and so much better. But if it is our habit to look up to people and find the good in them and search out the good in them, we'll be appreciated for it. And of course, that's not what we're doing it for. If we see in others things that are not commendable, then that's a reflection of ourselves. So, I mean, now we got that out of the way. Now, if we make it a habit to always see the good things in others, see the good things that they're doing and compliment them on it and speak about it, then we are looking up to them. We are admiring them for whatever we can admire them for. And perhaps we have to be creative sometimes, you know. Have to use our imagination, and that's always good too, because sometimes you come up with some things that, hey, I didn't know you knew that I was doing that, you know. Thank you very much. And then they look up to you as a genius for being able to see what they're doing and to see what they're creating and what they're coming up with. Otherwise, we'd miss an awful lot. We miss an awful lot. I was seeing Chidambara, that's the youngster that was with us. He was so outstanding. He was always in the front of everything. Here it was our show, and he was out front. He was leading it, he was showing the way, he was doing all these things. And sometimes it can be just a little, you know, difficult. And so I began to use the technique that we use to make sure that the result that I want takes place. And so I began telling Chidambara what a good guy he is. That wasn't difficult at all, because he was a good guy. And I began telling him how well he did all the things that I like to have done. Of course, he'd never done those things before. But I told him how well he introduced me to the group, how well he gave everyone the songbooks, how well he went to his place in the first row and sat quietly and listened attentively, you know. And I just praised him and praised him for all the things that I wanted to see him do. And he just sat there admiring me. At first, he didn't take to me. At first, he was a little reluctant because he knew I was I demanded the best out of everybody. And he wasn't sure that he wanted to give the best according to what he felt I might like. And so he sort of stayed away from me. He went to Ellen and he went to others, but he stayed away from me. And then, after he'd heard me speak a number of times and understood enough of it to really know what was going on, he became closer and closer and closer to me. Next thing you know, he was sitting on my lap in the car, which he wouldn't do before. He always got in back with all the gang of everybody. And it was fine. I didn't mind him sitting in back at all. But then he started coming up and wanting to be in front. And I thought to myself, yep, I'm making strides. He is really, you know, turning on the gas here and doing a good job. And by the time we were ready to leave, he says, I want to come with you. I want to come to America. I want to come, you know, and take your suitcases and carry them for you and stuff like that. But in the beginning, Ellen says, are you and your mommy going to come to America? And he says, yeah. You know, reluctantly a little bit, but yeah, yeah. And at the end, he was just gung-ho to come to America. Now, we'll see if Grace makes it over here or not. But the wonderful thing is that when you just start complimenting people on the things that they could do or do, beautiful things come from them. And instead of thinking that you're a terrible person, they begin to look up to you. You know, a lot of times we say giving compliments that are not true are not beneficial. Well, that's not really true. Giving compliments that are not true, like for instance, "My, you always clean your plate so nice," and you don't. "My, you always serve others first before you take anything for yourself," and you don't. "My, you are so generous and so loving," and you aren't. And I keep saying that, and I keep saying that, and little by little, the people begin to apply that in their life. And they look up to me because they see me seeing the best in them. So as we see the best in others, people who look up to other people end up being looked up to. Now, I'm not being nice to people to have them look up to me because I really don't care. I am being nice to people because it brings the best out of them. And it brings the best out of them in my world, in my experience, in my life. And that, to me, is very important. So, people who look up to other people end up being looked up to. And that's really quite marvelous. It's quite a marvelous thing to do. And all of us can practice that and put that into motion, and we'll have wonderful experiences in our life. How many times have you recently said something that made other people feel better? That you looked at other people and you saw something good in them. You saw something beautiful in them. How many people have you done that recently to? And how many people who are real close to you have you done that recently to? Oh, it's easy to write to your families across the ocean and tell them how wonderful they are and that sort of stuff. You're not with them. But if you were with them every day, they'd be a pain in the butt, you know? Really. And so this is the same thing you have here on campus. The people you're with every day are a pain in the butt. And that these are the people that you want to look up to so that they will look up to themselves and eventually look up to you too. So here on campus, let's, if we will, find something in our associates, something in each other that is commendable, even if we have to be creative about it. Let's not be outrageous, but be creative about something that the other person is doing that's beautiful. Like, Ingeborg, I'm so proud of you. You're always at to meals on time, in time for the 5-minute meditation. You just make me feel so proud of you when you do that. And then she said, "Well, I didn't do it once or twice." Hey, I'm not talking about the once or twice you didn't do it. I'm talking about the times you did do it. And the times you did do it with all your heart and all your love. That was very nice. But you see, even when you give a compliment like that, they right away think about the times they didn't. And I don't want anybody thinking about the times they didn't. I want them thinking about the times that they did. And when Ellen answers the phone, and she says before she answers the phone, "I am an American. I speak perfect, clear English." And then she answers the phone. "Hello? Yes, this is the University of Healing. Yes, we do teach positive thinking. Oh, would you like to have our syllabus? Be happy to send that along to you. Now, what is your address, please, so that I can send it? And please give me your address, and I'll read it back to you to make sure that I have it correct. Thank you so much for calling. It's a delight to be with you." Perfect English. Perfect words, each one spoken clearly and beautifully, not cutesy-cutesy. Because each one of you has a tendency to get cutesy. Ingeborg, you get cutesy by getting real quiet, mousy. And that's pure garbage. Ellen, you get cutesy by saying, you talk, and I don't even know how to describe it. You talk like a little baby girl. And you say, "Well, can't we go and do this here and do this?" I can't describe it, but it's not beneficial. You could talk with perfect English because you know perfect English, but you feel that you're demonstrating something at that moment. And Sylvia, she finds it very intimidating for me to ask questions about things that she's doing or things that she's learning or things that she's finding out from others or from whatever she's doing on campus here. She finds it very intimidating. And because she finds it intimidating, she finds it difficult to tell me when people come to campus to do things. She should just spout it out the minute she sees me or anybody. Oh, yes, so-and-so was here, and they did this and that and the other thing. That's nice. All done. But fortunately, Sylvia does do that most of the time. And that's a very lovely blessing. And fortunately, Ellen speaks with the King's English. Beautiful, perfect, wonderful grammar, wonderful diction in most cases. Occasionally she forgets, but most of the time she is fantastic. And Ingeborg?
Inga.
Oh, Inga. I see. Well, who was I talking about before?
Another person.
I was talking about Ingeborg, and she's not here, huh?
No.
I see.
For you.
So, you're making tremendous strides. I'm real proud of you. So, speak loudly, clearly, and beautifully. And it doesn't mean shouting at this bit so I can hear you. It means speaking loudly and clearly, not necessarily super loud, but loudly and clearly. And when you do that, then it's very easy for all of us to know exactly what you're saying. And all I want to say is people who look up to other people end up being looked up to. And I look up to all of you because you're the reflection of me. And you're damn good. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to do a double take on this. Still recording. Oh, I got the lock on.